But they had a reputation, they had a name, but then it said, but thou art dead. This was the only condemnation they had, that thou art dead. They didn't have a doctrinal problem, or the Lord would have spoken. He did, and he mentioned that with another church about that, but they did not have any doctrinal issues. They had that squared away, but they had this one problem, and he said, this is what your problem is. You're spiritually, you're dead. You know, there's a former glory, and right now you're dead and spiritually dead. A couple of comments I'll lay on you just so your mind doesn't wander off. I know how Satan does. You done read something in there and thought, well, I wonder what that means. And you're going to sit there thinking about that the whole time the preacher's preaching on another text or topic. And so I want to straighten it out. The seven spirits. It mentions seven spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit, but the seven spirits refers to the sevenfold ministry of the one Holy Spirit. That's what most people believe. You know, there's number seven is a number of completeness or number of perfection. And the seven stars, most believe, represent the pastors of the seven churches. And the Bible tells me, my Bible tells me that Jesus has all of them. He has every one of them. So that's not the main point. That's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about was the big problem that they had. And the thought for today was that the church was dead. Jesus said it. Jesus said the church was dead. And church, listen, church is people. It's people, it's members. Look, you sit there and say, well, you know, our church is dead. You're making a commentary on your own self. You see, that's how it happened. Listen, I'm going to tell you something about me. I'm going to tell you the truth about me. I have a closer walk with Jesus than I've ever had in my whole time, my whole life, in my whole ministry. I have a deeper communion with Jesus right now than any time in my ministry. Even in the heyday of this church, when we had more people, that we had over twice the people we got now, when we was in the middle of building all this on the church, I have a better relationship with Jesus Christ today. I have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ today. My prayer life is better than it ever was today. I mean, that's just the way it is. I don't know what else to tell you about that. But I want to tell you that listen, church is people. It's not the building. It's not the location. It's us. This is it. Whatever we are, it's a reflection of where we are spiritually. That's whatever we are. So we see this church here, and the very first point is that they had a reputation. It says that they had a reputation. This church had a form of godliness, but not the power. See what it said? It said, listen, if you got a red letter Bible, you know already that Jesus is the one that's speaking this. He said, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest among people, see, and art dead. You're dead. They had a form of godliness, but they didn't have any power. There was a deadness to their souls. There was a deadness to their services. Formal, dull routine. There was a deadness in their praying. There was a deadness in their preaching. There was a deadness in their conversation. There was a deadness in their hearing. There was a deadness in their singing. There was a deadness in their service, whatever that may have been that they had. I don't mean, well, the service, but how they serve God, in whatever capacity they serve God. A reputation without reality. A reputation without force. See, on the outside, everything looked good. Man, I mean, people would go by there. Of course, they weren't driving cars in those days, but if it applied to today, people would go by and there would be cars in the parking lot. And there would be the lights on. And there would be something. It looked like something was going on the outside. But Jesus said, you're dead. There was people in there. There was people there. There's no record, by the way, of this church being persecuted. Some of the churches, he had a commendation about the fact that they had been persecuted, yet they stood through the persecution. There's no record of this church being persecuted. You know why? Because a dead man don't get persecuted. That's what it is right there. The dead person don't get persecuted. They didn't rock anybody's boat. Nobody's boat got rocked. No conviction in their words, and there was no conviction in their lives. They were just going through the motions there. No witness in their words or lives either. There was no witness about Christ. The church would have been better off if they had persecution. Yeah, They'd have been better off. You know what? The best thing that ever happened that if we got under heavy persecution, you know why? Number one, it would weed out. It would weed out all the fakes. And only the real ones would be there. And I'm going to tell you what, the prayer meeting would be a whole lot better off. I believe the prayers, the tears would be back. There would be some serious prayer going on if we were under serious persecution. It would have helped the church, but now it hadn't. Our prosperity is killing us. The prosperity of the church in America is killing us. The comfort level that we have, even though times are tight. Listen, I'm get ahead of myself. I get ahead of myself. It was comfortable, it was content, and it was dead. It was comfortable and content and dead. You ever go, you know, you see a body in a casket, and you go up and everybody says, don't they look so peaceful? Huh? Don't they look so peaceful? That's about like most of the churches. That's just the way it is. I mean, don't they look so peaceful? Because they're dead. They had this reputation. It was a past reputation, by the way. I'll get to that in a minute. It was a past reputation. The second point was, it said in verse 3, look what it said. Be watchful, which that word right there, watchful, can also be, it means this, wake up. That's what he said, wake up. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found that works to be perfect. Then in verse 3 it says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. He said, remember. Now remembrance has a twofold effect. Part of their problem was, that they did remember. They were living in the past. They remembered the past times, the past days, the glory days of the church. And they remembered that. And then in light of the past, this is what he's saying, what Jesus is saying. He said, look at that and then look at what you have now and contrast that. And with them, this church, they either hadn't noticed it or they had ignored it. Yet this admonition remains. Remember. And that remembrance, and this is written, listen, what I'm going to tell you is going to be some tough stuff. But it's written to encourage them. To say, look, you know, men are the worst about this. I mean, their arm can be falling off. And I don't need to go to the doctor, you know. I mean, I don't want, or else they just about dead. And they say, well, I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to find out what's wrong. I'm not one of those guys. I go to the doctor, doc, tell me what it is and what we're going to do about it. I want to know what the problem is. I want to get it fixed. See, so what are a lot of people, they don't want to find out what the problem is because they don't have to deal with it. I want to know. Hey, listen, if I got something, let's work on it. Let's work on it. So this is what this is written for. There's a church. I'll tell you this later on, but I'll throw it in there now. When you get a conviction from God, and when you get a warning from God, it means there's hope. Yeah, there's hope. It ain't over yet. It's not over yet, but I'm going to tell you how it is. They were living in the past. They had this admonition to remember how it was. You think about this church at Sardis. This is what I thought about. All right, now I read and studied this, that the city of Sardis was the first city that was converted in that region. Converted by the Apostle John himself. So that means that the Apostle John, the apostles, an apostle, man, these guys, you know that an apostle could raise the dead? We don't have a lot of reading about them doing that, but they could raise the dead, they could heal the sick, blindness, leprosy, cure this, that, whatever, they could do that. Here was the Apostle John himself. He walked with Jesus. He prayed with Jesus. Matter of fact, it said he even laid his head on the breast of Jesus there at the supper, the Lord's Supper. John, whom Jesus loved, he said about himself. He knew that Jesus loved him. He walked with him. He stood at the cross. Saw Jesus nailed at the cross. Stood at the cross. And Jesus commended his own mother into John's care. This is the guy that preached in that city. Imagine that. He saw the resurrected Lord. He was empowered on the day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The name of Sardis, the name means Prince of Joy. That's what that name's right there. And I started thinking about it. Can you imagine the buzz in that city back in that day? The Apostle John was the one that came there preaching the gospel. He had the truth. He was preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. And people were getting saved. And I mean, man, they got excited. It was just, man, listen, They didn't do it like we do it now. They did it different. But they got saved, buddy, and they were getting together and they were meeting. They went to church every day. They got there, man, and they was all excited about it. And then I imagine, this is just, I'm just using my imagination. I know this happened somehow. I don't know how the order went. But they, somehow along the way, somebody bought, they either bought some land and they built a church, or somebody donated the land, they built a church, or somebody donated the land with a whole building on it. But they had one. They had a church. Somebody, and they got excited. You imagine when it was new? Everybody was excited and buzzing, man. And they got down there to the preaching, and you know, and they had they got a pastor. It wasn't John. It was somebody else that was the pastor of the church. And man, I mean, I just think that, boy, it was an alive thing. It was a real thing. These were real salvations. Man, back in them days, I'm going to tell you what. When they got to preaching in the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you two things happened to you if you come in that church lost. You got saved or you got out. Ain't nobody going to sit around there, man, and Peter was up there preaching, or John was up there preaching, and they're going to sit there week in, week out, deader than 4 o'clock, not saved, lost, and go out the door lost week in, week out. Because all the people was in prayer, man. All the people was filled with the Holy Ghost of God, buddy. And when they came in, man, I mean, they knew that them people loved them. They knew that God loved them, but they also knew, boy, they weren't the same. They wanted whatever those people had. They wanted the Holy Spirit. They wanted salvation. They got saved, brother. I believe most of them got saved. And so, man, just imagine that day. That they had a reputation of being alive, but they were now dead. What happened? What happened? How did it go from there to there? Not that long of a period of time either. By the way, John's still alive. John's writing this. That same guy that started, that got the city converted, and then the church, you know, of course they formed a church. The same guy, he's still alive. So it's not, it's got to be within, he was inside of 60 years and probably less of Jesus' resurrection. Huh? Hadn't been that long ago. What happened? Vance Havner said this in speaking about ministries. This is what he said. There's four stages to ministries. A man, a movement, a machine, and a monument. And they were in the monument stage right there. And this is what that means right there. See, it started with a man. Somebody got on fire for God. I'm just assuming like it started with the Apostle John. He came, he preached the word of God. People got saved. Man, once you get, listen. Once you get one other person saved, you got a church going on right there. I mean, you got two people that are saved. You get three, man, two or three are gathered in my name. There I am in the midst. So it started with the man that God was using. I mean, obviously it started with God, but it started with a man. And then there was a movement. Man, people started getting saved. Huh? We already talked about it this morning, one time in Sunday school, one time in it. Well, Jesse was talking about it and Paul mentioned it, and I've said it. Listen, we go out and we're going to invite somebody to church, Nothing wrong with that. Invite them to church. But I'm going to tell you what, how about taking them to Jesus first? Huh? The church is really for saved people. You can get saved here, sure enough. But that ain't how it worked in the New Testament. In the New Testament church, there was thousands added daily. They was coming to church already saved, man. They got added on the church roll when they got there, man. They got saved, and that's how it was, because the people was all out excited telling about Jesus. And that's how people get saved, and how they got it and how the church grew. And so, man, there it was. There was this... this movement that took place, people being saved and people added to the church to the point. And the reason we know that they know that there was a church there because they know where the remains of that church is. I'll get to that in a little bit. But they know where it is. And so they know that this happened. So this is what happens. It starts with a man. Then there's this movement. And then what happens? It turns into a machine. Well, what do you mean by that? It means by after a while, we just going through the motions. Huh? Coming in. I'm going to go to my Sunday school class and teach my Sunday school class. Huh? Something. I can remember this. I can remember people that taught Sunday school class in this church right here. This years ago. Not anybody in here. I wouldn't say it. I know. One time I thought I was going to be slick, and I was. I said, I'm going to go up, and I got somebody else teach my class, and I'm going to go up and sit in the Sunday school classes. Y'all get ready, you Sunday school teachers. I sat in there, and I know good and well that the man teaching the class got up and in 15 minutes took a yellow piece of scrap paper and wrote a bunch of stuff down on there, not even a bunch of stuff, wrote stuff on there and taught a Sunday school class like that, and that's all the time. He didn't even spend 15 minutes getting it together and teach a Sunday school class. And here the kids were sitting in there at their desk like this. They're sitting down like this, got their heads on the desk, half asleep. I was about to fall asleep. deader than 4 o'clock. And I said, and in that particular case, I'll give you a side lesson, just throw this in for nothing. God told me, he said, man, you got to get that guy out of there. And I said, man. And I knew as a pastor, buddy, this is why I didn't have no gray hair then, and I got it now. I knew as a pastor, I said, this ain't going to go well. But I mean, God was right. Man, he's got to go or get right. And I was like, oh, man. And I knew, I said, and I waited a week or two, you know, chicken. Waiting to, had to go, it ain't easy for me to come to you guys and say, you know, what you're doing is not right. It's not easy. But I went and about 2 weeks later, he come roaring down out of there, man. That's it, Pastor, I quit. I ain't teaching them kids no more. They're disrespectful. They don't want to listen. I said, okay. I didn't talk him into going back. It's a crying shame, though, man. It's a crying shame. We got this machine. Here we are. Y'all done the same thing you do every Sunday morning. Kick the dog. Pop the kids on the back of the head. Get your clothes on. Fight with your spouse, get in the car, and you got down here. You're sitting in the same place you always sit, except for Billy and Angela. They moved over there today, but anyway. Sitting in the same place you always sit and expecting the same thing, nothing. If you don't get nothing, it's not going to be my fault. So we got this machine, and then we got a monument. And they're sitting all over America, churches locked up, paint falling off of them, weeds growing up around them, padlock on the front door, graveyard outside showing you that the church was there a long time. All the people died off, and there it is, and it's just a monument to what it used to be. We got one right here at the other end of Buckhannon. Somebody, I think, uses it for a little store, a little stone church down there on the right when you get over the river. Somebody using it for store. What happened to them people? We think about this church, Valley View Baptist Church, and I know a lot about the history of Valley View Baptist Church because our history is not that old. But this is what Mary Patzel, and I sat down with her and Sherry and I one time right before Mary died, which I already knew a lot of it, but she went back over. And it was good. And Elbert Yates was the pastor over at Colonial Baptist Church on 460, and Elbert Yates had a radio program. This is in the 60s, early 60s. He had a radio program, and, you know, travel back in those days, it's even different then than it is now. And so there was people over here that heard him on the radio, and they wrote a letter, you know what that is, young people don't know, wrote a letter over to him to want to know if he would come over the mountain and start a church over here in this area. Not that there wasn't churches, but you know what? Well, leave that up to let God define it, but he's going to start a church. He would do it. And he said he would, and he come over and helped them. And they started a little thing out here in Speck, down on a Speck Mine. It was called the Speck Mission. We had Mary Patzel, Hazel Garcia, Dwight and Cindy Mortz. Roger Mortz, who was Dwight's brother, was coming on Sunday night there before Dwight died. And they had this vision of a church, and they had a meeting. You know what they used to do? Hazel Garcia told me this. Said they would, in the wintertime, they didn't have no heat. They would pull the cars up all real close, and everybody put their windows down, have their heaters running. And they'd do a Bible study, somebody hollering out. You can imagine, in a car, how it deadens everything. Have to holler out down there what you're reading down to the people down through the windows. They used to go out to Hazel told me they went out on visitation, had lanterns in their hand. Lanterns. I'm sure they had flashlights in those days, but everybody's so poor they probably couldn't. They just used a lantern that they had. They go out and had a meeting. And then what happened? It grew enough, and they bought this land right here. The guy didn't even want to sell them the land. This is how God worked. The man didn't want to sell them the land. Then one day he said, I'm going to sell it to you. And after he sold them the land, he said, you know, I don't know why I sold them that land. God just changed his mind. And then they built this part over here. They built a church over there, and then we had a church. Elbert Yates, that was at Colonial Baptist's nephew, was at Piedmont Bible College, and he got out, and that's his picture on the wall back there when you're going towards the men's room. John Yates, still alive. I know him. He's preached here. He was the first pastor. I think he was here 6 or 7 years, something like that. At one time, he was the longest tenured pastor. Now I am, but he was the longest tenure before that, 6 or 7 years. John, that's the history of the church that we started out. And then, of course, listen, in our time, man, remember when we built this? I remember the day, right? I remember the day when we tore the little, there used to be a little porch roof over the door right here. This was the outside door, the little porch roof. And the day they come up here with a thing and knocked it off, you know, we took pictures. And we got there's a bunch of pictures out there under the clock in a photo album. Everybody was stopping by. They driving down the road. Look, there's a thing, and they cut the dirt, and we built it all and everything, right? Remember that? It was a buzz, man. There was a buzz going on, and it was just a building. Just because you're building a building, don't get me wrong, it don't mean that there's something spiritual going on. But you know, it's good to see that. But what happens, you get a reputation on the outside, not necessarily on the inside. And so here they were. We got this building going on. I remember when the big day for me was when they set the trusses. We were just talking about this a week ago. When Jimmy Fraylin T told me, he said these were the widest wooden trusses they had ever set anywhere. They're 53 feet across to end to end on the bottom. He said, I never set any wooden ones that big. And man, we had that crane out here all day. I operated one end. Me and Jimmy's on one end. I was on there. We hooked the cable on and we brought it up here. And boy, the buzz, man, everybody. You go down there in the gas station down there, the lady, oh man, they got it going on. And listen to this. Some of y'all might remember, anybody knows Sam McGee? He's a school teacher around here for years. Well, Sam McGee and his wife, they had put some money aside. I don't think they had any kids or anything. And they said they had decided amongst themselves that when they died, they put some scholarships. You go to James River graduation now, there's a Sam McGee scholarship or something. Anyway, he wanted to give some money to some churches. Now, listen to this. Got it, and I didn't know them guy from Man of the Moon. He went down to the tax lady that used to prepare the taxes down here in town, and he said, where is there something going on? I want to give some money to a church. Man, we was right in the middle of our building, dude. Where is something going on? I want to donate some money to a church that's got something going on. And this lady that didn't go to church here either said Valley View Baptist Church. She called up on the phone and said, what's the address down there? I said, I told her. Okay, thank you. That's all she said. I had this thought in my mind. I thought, you know, kind of like maybe somebody's going to give us some money. He put a check in the mail for $10,000 sent to this church. $10,000. A testimony on the outside that something was going on. What they could see. Just what they could see. And I'm not saying there wasn't anything spiritual going on. I hope to God it was. And think about that. But there was this buzz. And then we say we still call this the new side. Over there on the new side. The door on the new side. This church been here this fall 19 years. 19 years. It's not the new side anymore. What are we doing now? And I'm not talking about buildings and street lights. And I'm just saying, what are we doing now? Do we have a reputation that we're alive or are we dead spiritually? Now listen to me. There's people in here right now. Right now in this church, right now, that used to do more than what they're doing right now. I'm just giving it like it is. This way, God knows, you know, I know, the Lord knows. We got to talk about it. We got to remember it. We've got to not ignore it. But there are some of you right here, right now, that used to teach Sunday school class. There's some of you right now that used to sing in the choir. There's some of you right in here right now that used to sing specials. We're lucky now if we got a special. We never have anybody singing a special on Sunday night. We never have anybody singing a special on Wednesday night. There's people in here that got talent. They can sing everybody else that does sing under the table, and they won't give it up for God. They will not give it up. It's always a but and an excuse or whatever. We won't do anything for God. There's people that did a lot more than what they're doing right now. You know it's true. We think about prayer meeting time. We got a nation over there that women and children are being killed right this minute. Right this minute, we've got a nation whose economy is on the verge of going down the drain. We've got ungodliness in the White House. Some of you here got your children, your grandchildren are lost as they can be on their way to hell. And them altars right there, it's just dusty because nobody would get down here and pray. We come here on Wednesday night. We come on Wednesday night to pray in a prayer meeting. It looks like a ghost town. We got to run a video with somebody else singing because we don't have anybody that'll do any singing right here to the glory of God. We got to get somebody else's glory in here to do that. I'm going to tell you something wrong with this. I'm going to tell you something wrong with that. You got lost kids and you can't get to a congregational prayer meeting to pray for you on that. What's it going to take? What's it going to take? We're going down the drain. And I'm going to tell you another thing. The Lord is right on the brink of coming back. Right on the brink of coming back, and you're going to be laying in a lazy boy with a pizza crust on your belly while what little bit of faithful people we got's down here praying. And I'm going to tell you right now. I'll give you a little prophecy. Some of you right now, today, right now, you have already made up your mind. You know you are not coming back here tonight. I don't care what the Holy Ghost of God does. I don't care why the Holy Ghost of God speaks to your heart. You're not going to do it. And you're not going to come back on Wednesday night either. You're not coming. You know it. You're not. You got your excuses all lined up. You're not coming. It don't matter what God does. God's not changing your mind. The Holy Spirit of God's not going to talk to you about it. And I'm going to tell you what, next Sunday at Sunday school, you're not going to be here either. Already made your mind up. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus told you right there in that word, right there. If you've already got your mind made up, and it don't matter what the Holy Ghost of God has said to you, you are dead. You are dead spiritually. There's nothing else going on in there. That's just the way it is. And I told him, Brian said he was worrying about how many people was here in Sunday school was going to get people to come to church. I said, there'll be less here than you got now. There'll be less. It's the truth. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. He said they were dead. What happened? They're not doing what they used to do. Somebody quit. And now we sit around. We're not waiting. Hardly nobody in church today is waiting for the Holy Ghost of God to speak to them. And if he does, they say no. No, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. Already made their mind up. Like he couldn't empower you to overcome whatever but you got in the way of being faithful to God. Huh? That's right. Come on, Philip. Come on, man. Let's go. Huh? Way to go, preacher. Way to go. I'm trying to help you. Hey. We ain't slam dead. But old Philip Meadow right there is a good testimony. Man, he just got on fire for God. Man's even got a tie on, man. I mean, trying to have a... Amen. Singing in the choir, man. He just said, I'm going to come in there and sing with y'all. Man, I'm telling you what, we ain't totally dead. But man, think about this. Jesus said it. Verse 2, it said this. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. The things which remain. You know what, when we have a body, a dead body, you know what we call that? The remains. The remains. That's what we say, right? It means that the soul and the spirit's gone, and what we have here, it's right, the remains. I love the great text in Ezekiel. Where he went out there and he looked at that valley of dry bones. And there's a whole bunch of bones laying, the remains. That's all there was bones. Huh? All pastors can relate to that text. And it said, God told him, he said, Ezekiel, he said, I want you to prophesy to them bones. So he preached to the bones. That's what I do. This is what I do. And what happened was, it said that the bones all came together. And then there was the flesh came on and the sinews came on. Guess what? But there was no life. There wasn't no life. And then it says that God breathed on them. And God breathed on them and it said, boy, they stood up an exceeding great army. Oh, man, there it is, see? But a lot of churches are like this. We got the bones, we got the sinews, we got the flesh. We ain't got an exceeding great army. Because God's got to breathe on them. The breath of God. If there's a prayer, listen, man, I'm going to tell you what. If there's nothing else to pray about in the whole world, we ought to be down here on Wednesday night praying that God would breathe on His church. Amen. Breathe on us. I'd breathe on me. I ask God that all the time. Breathe on me. Huh? Breathe on me. Right now, you might have to breathe on me, give me some breath. But look here in verse 4. It's all good. Ain't no conviction, maybe. He said in verse 4, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." This is the remnant. This is the remnant, point number 4. The remnant. Listen, the remnant is the 5% of the people that do 100% of the work. Every church is like this, just about. And I thank God for them. I do. Listen, I'm a glass half full person. I'm not a glass half empty. I look around. Listen, is everything like you'd like it? Nope. Like, you want a list? Is it everything like you'd like it? Nope. Singing program could be a lot better. It would. I'm praying lights out. We get a piano player that can play. Boy, that guy, that blind man down there can play. I pray we have a piano player. I pray that we'd have people that would come up here and sing on. I'd love to have a special singer on Wednesday night. What a shocker that would be. I can see everybody now, all 10 of them that are here on Wednesday night. Looking at that, we got a singer on Wednesday night. I mean, I'd love to have that. It's not like there's things that I wish were different. But I tell you what I see, and I don't think we ought to constantly dwell on a half-empty glass when we got a half-full one. I see the people that serve. We got teachers. We got bus drivers. We got sound and video people in the back. We got lawn care. We got people take care of the lawn. We got a secretary that takes care of the paperwork and the books. We got all that. We got people that'll do. They'll do it. I see that. Don't get so negative in your mind you can't see it. But there's a danger of becoming that machine where we're just going through the motions. See, you know, we was talking about love, feeling love. Listen, you don't feel no love from a machine. It can go through the motions, but it don't give you no love, right? And the Bible said there, strengthen them. Let me see where I read it. Strengthen the things. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Yeah. Woo, man. Strengthen them. You know, they got a thing down here at Solomon's. I'm not criticizing this. It's called encouragement night. But I'm going to tell you what, it's a crying shame when I got to go somewhere else to get encouraged. Why do I got to go somewhere else? Why can't I be encouraged here? I'll tell you how to encourage me. Show up on Sunday night. Show up on Wednesday night. Show up at Sunday school. Get excited about the Word of God. That'll encourage me. I won't have to have encouragement. None of us will have to have encouragement night. Are things perfect? Like I said, no, they're not perfect. Here's your options. You know what? You can just say, well, church is so dead, I'm just going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go, and what you got to do, I'm going to tell you what you got to do today. You got to go find a bigger church. You got to go get a bigger one. They got everything in there. And then you can sit there like a dead corpse and not have to do nothing, and they'll still have it going on. They'll still do it. You can do that. Or you can stay right where you're at, get in here, roll your sleeves up, and build a church up for the glory of God. That's the option. Huh? That's it. You know, those are the two things that you can do. And a lot of people like the other. See, they can come and go and miss and be lame and be dead and hardly anybody notice because just by the sheer amount, they still got the 5% doing, but their 5% is bigger than our 5%. Huh? And so it looks like more's going on when really it's not. It's the same amount of deadness everywhere. Preach this thing on the moon, man. Somebody be shouting amen. Right? See. The last point is repent. Verse 3 said that. He said, "Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent." He said, repent. And as I said earlier, this is the good news. It means there's still hope. That's why we've got it. Conviction. Anytime God convicts you. Now, we don't like conviction. But you know what conviction means? It means there's still some life in there somewhere. Dead, you preach to a dead corpse all day long, they ain't going to get convicted. There's no hope. But we have hope. We still have hope. If God convicts us, then that means that God's not done with us. Now here's a couple things. First step to revival is awareness that something's wrong. See, a lot of us, this is the cancel cult, the cancel culture. We're in the cancel culture. If somebody disagrees with you, you cut them off. You don't talk to them, or you don't listen to them. And so what we have done is when the Holy Spirit of God talks to us and we don't like what he's got to say, we cancel it. We cancel it. And we don't want to look at our problems or admit that we have a problem. We want to go along like thinking everything's okay and it's not. The first step is an awareness of something's wrong. When an organism is alive, there is growth, repair, reproduction, and power. That's how you know it's alive. There was life at Sardis. There was life at Sardis. Was it where it could have been? Maybe not. I don't know. I just got a feeling when the Apostle John was there and preached and got people really were saved. And it was new. And no amount of programs, playgrounds, dinners, field trips is going to replace the breath of God. Huh? The Holy Spirit of God. That's it. That's why I said, man, I pray right to the Holy Spirit. I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me. No amount of service. See, some people substitute their relationship with God, their filling of the Holy Spirit. They replace it with service. I want to do something. I'm going to do something for God. Let me tell you this. God's more concerned about what you are than what you do. He's more concerned about what you are than what you do. I'm going to do something. And sometimes we even try to replace obedience or our relationship with God with just some sort of service in the name of God to replace that. And none of those things will replace our witnessing. You know what? We heard it this morning. Somebody brought it up about inviting somebody to church. It's okay to invite somebody to church. But that's not going to replace you witnessing to them. We don't have a problem. See, we'll invite somebody to church in a heartbeat. Hey, how about you come to church? Here's a track. See you later. We say, hey, but how about taking them to the side and said, man, I wonder, have you ever really heard about the love of Jesus? About Jesus Christ and about how he paid for your sins and died? Sit down with them and ask them about that. That's when growth, that's the problem. Hey, listen, we can do everything in the world. I don't care if somebody dropped $1 million on us. We get a thing on, if I get a call and say, hey, what's the address? And they give us $1 million. Hey, we go out here and build a youth thing as big as the rest of that field back there. Have an inside football stadium. Huh? With an ice skating rink so we can play hockey. We could get all that. But none of that stuff is going to replace the commission, the command to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how you build a church. It's not by the machine. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit in our witness. That's how you build a church. That's how it's done. And we have failed. Because we've tried to do it through methods, through the machinery, the outward appearance. We got away from telling people about Jesus. I don't know what happened to the church. I'm almost done. Paul, you can work your way up here. I don't know what happened. Daryl, you can give me a little help with whoever you got. I studied that church right there. I don't know what happened in the immediate future. I'm hoping that after they heard the words of Jesus that they were saved. And they got on fire for God. And that they got excited. But I know this, it's not there today. The whole city's in ruins. They have found the remains of that church. The remains. They found the foundation of it. A once living, powerful church. It's gone. It's dead. The question for you, are you dead or alive? Are you dead or alive? I'm going to tell you where to get it all straightened out. It's right down here at the old dusty altar of God. Huh? Don't let it hurt you a little bit. Get down here and we need to pray about it, man. And God will breathe on us. Breathe the fire into us. Listen, same God. Same God, I don't care where you go. Burlington Revival, 1,200 people got saved. That thing went on for 12 weeks. Same God, same Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not limiting himself to some big church somewhere. Nothing against a big church. He's not limiting himself. He's right here. Right here. confess, repent, ask. If God spoke to your heart this morning, Paul, you come and lead us in a song. Hey, if you need to come to the altar, don't worry about the song. Just get down here and pray. Pray to God, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Hymn number 308, I Surrender All.